Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This book, or this chapter, is where Paul and Silas were traveling around, through, and coming to Philippi, because there was people there that God needed to save, and he was sending them a preacher. You know, our God, before the foundation of the world, he chose a people. He sent his son into this world as a man to live as us without the sin, pay all our sin debt, rise and sit at his right hand. And that's where our king is sitting this morning, is at Lord's, at God's right hand on the throne. He's doing as he pleases, when he pleases. He's chosen his people, and in his due time and determined presence, he will save them when he needs to, or when they're supposed to be saved. Abraham was 75 years old before he called him. Other men, you know, that goes through. When Christ was here on the earth, all the people he went and visited, that he had to save certain people. But we're told about Lydia here. Love that. It's a certain woman, you know, named Lydia. My understanding is that at this time there was probably a lot of women named Lydia in that area. And then Lydia wasn't even from Philippi. She was from Thyatira, which is where Paul wanted to go, was into Asia. And that's where Thyatira was. But the Lord, it says in verse 6, that the Holy Ghost, that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And he sent them through. He gave them a vision to go into Macedonia, which is Philippi, is the capital of that, because there was a certain woman there that needed to be saved. By his mercy and his grace, he sends his preachers. He sends his people where they need to be. I thought about when it talked about Lydia not being from Philippi, that she was from Thyatira, but she was in Philippi when Paul came, when the Lord sent Paul to preach to her. Think through this congregation, how many people in that. A few of us grew up here in Franklin County, and a few of us he put in his church and kept us here. But a lot of people in this congregation aren't from Franklin County, didn't grow up here. The Lord put them here. Some of us he put here. And then he sent the gospel here. You know, the Lord does everything in his time and in his providence. And he said in Romans 9 that he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he'll have compassion on whom he'll have compassion. And then we look down through after he saved Lydia, sent Paul to save Lydia. Then is back in verse 16. It says, as Paul and Silas were coming to pray, went to prayer, certain damsel, just possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, saying she was making money for these men. Paul, in the name of Jesus Christ, told that spirit to come out. This upset those men. Those men were, that was their money-making scheme. They were using this woman and this spirit to make money. So it upset them. So they took them before the council of men. And just like our Lord was taken to the council of men and falsely accused, his preachers will be done the same. His men will be accused, falsely accused, and in this case, Paul and Silas were beaten. They were put in stocks. put in prison. Verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. May the Lord, if he decides to put us under persecution like he did these men and through the book of Acts, may he give us and remind us that it's all about his will, his glory, and his honor, and make us sing and sing his praises and pray unto him, because that without him there is no salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. He has to be the one that sends them. In this case, he put Paul and Silas in prison for a specific reason. He put Paul in prison to write most of the epistles, which we have to read, and that God gave him the words to declare, and that's the reason we have those, is because our God, in mercy to us, put Paul in prison. He kept Paul in pretty good comfort in prison, from what I've read. You know, he was allowed to have visitors and men come minister to him, but that was the reason for that. But in this case, he put him in here for this, because he had a Philippian jailer that needed to be saved. And Paul and Silas were there for this reason. In verse 26 it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Our Lord is in the earthquake. All earthquakes, he's sent his judgment on this earth, and sometimes it's in forms of earthquakes. I see pictures and destruction from earthquakes that the Lord has sent here recently in my lifetime that just destroyed everything. In this case, it was specifically to open the doors. You know, he rocked that foundation to open the doors and let Paul and Silas out. But also, knowing that they wouldn't leave because of the jailer. And said verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Just a few chapters back, Peter was put in prison. Herod was going to have his head. And the Lord wasn't ready for Peter to be taken. He sent an angel to take him out. But he didn't save the jailers. It said that the jailers, Herod, when he found out, had the jailers killed. This time, the Lord put men in prison, loosed them from the prison, and had to save a sinner, had mercy on one, as he's done for all of us that he saved. He's had mercy on his people. He sent his grace in his due time. And then, verse 28. Paul cried with a loud voice. He said, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Paul didn't let any of the prisoners leave. He made him and Silas stay, and I'm sure there were others, because back in verse 25 it said those prisoners heard Paul and Silas praying and singing praises unto our God. And said then verse 29, the jailer called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is where I want to dwell just a little while this morning. What must I do to be saved? You know, our Lord answered every man that asked some form of this question. You know, the rich young ruler, he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord told him to keep the commandments. Well, in his self-righteousness, he said, well, I've done all that. Then he told him, he said, well, sell all your possessions, take up your cross and follow me. But he went away sorrowful because he had a lot of possessions. He wasn't, that's men today. It's not that they can't be saved. It's they won't be saved. They won't seek after a God. They won't call upon a God. They won't believe in a God that can save them. We're dead in our sins. We're blind. But I want to look at a few people and that have went through like this. You know, the Christ answering these questions. I've listened to a message by Henry Mahan on it, and it never really dawned on me not to say that. But he said, never answer a man that there's nothing a man can do to be saved, because you'd be in error. The Apostle Paul here told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, die in thy house. The Lord told that rich young ruler, he said, sell all. In Acts, in the Pentecost, you know, Paul preached at Pentecost, and at the end of that, the men's hearts were pricked and convicted. And they asked, said, so what shall we do? And Paul gave them an answer. I mean, Peter, he gave them an answer. He said, repent. Repent and believe. And Saul of Tarsus. Let's look at that back in chapter 9. A little bit of that. You know, Paul was speaking from a place where the Lord had called him. And said, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul thought he was doing the Lord's work. But as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He'd been out persecuting the Lord, didn't even know who the Lord was. You know, the man that he thought he was persecuting, he just thought that he was in more power than what that man was. He wanted to have control of his life. And he wanted his righteousness. But after this, the Lord stopped him in his tracks. And the Apostle Paul asked the two questions. Asked the two questions of Saul of Tarsus. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Saul had heard the word of God. He was standing there. He was holding the coats of the men that stoned Stephen in that message. And his question, once the Lord came to him and stopped him in his tracks, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Lord, what must I do to be saved? The Lord gave him an answer. Also in this, he said, arise, go into the city, and shall be told thee what to do, what you must do. You know, there's a lot of things a sinner can't do, but there's some things a sinner, which are hard to find. Everybody's a sinner. But you go ask a man if he's a sinner, and you'll be hard-pressed to find one that admits that he's a sinner and actually knows what it means to be a sinner. But a sinner, he can admit that he's a sinner. He can come before God with his head down and just as the publican, said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, he wouldn't even look up. That Pharisee was standing there bragging, you know, that he was glad he wasn't like the rest. He wasn't like that man. That publican, He wouldn't even lift his head. He smote on his chest and said that, ask God to be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what a sinner needs to do. A sinner needs to ask God for mercy always. If God shows us that we're sinners, shows us our need of a Savior that can save, and His arm's not short, He reached down and got me. He can save anybody. And then look at Matthew 15. I want to look at the Canaanite woman. Starting in verse 22 of chapter 15. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out at the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She asked the Lord to have mercy on her and save her daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. And there was that may have been the same one, and I wrote it down wrong, that came to him. The woman came to him. And the Lord told her, said, well, it's not meet to give bread from Israel to the dogs. Called her a dog. A sinner knows they're a dog. A sinner puts himself in that place as the Lord shows him. And then there was the thief on the cross. You know, he told the other man that they were right there with the crowd, chanting slurs at our Lord that was hanging there. And that thief, he said, we deserve this. He said, you know, this man's done nothing. He said, we deserve this. And all he asked for was that the Lord would remember him when he came into glory. And our Lord told him that he would be with him that day in eternity. I mean, that man, the thief, he had done nothing good in his life. You know, men want to make it about works and got to live a good life. That man had done nothing. And the Lord revealed himself to him and showed him that he was a sinner. And he just asked for mercy. That's what a sinner needs to do, is ask for mercy. And there was the woman with the issue of blood. She had been shown, she had been through years of doctors, spending money, no help, no cure. But she knew that all she needed to do was to touch Christ's garment and she'd be made whole. May the Lord show us that we need to touch the garment of Christ to be made whole. We need a blood sacrifice, and Christ is that blood sacrifice. We need a Savior that can save us. That's what we need. Another thing that a sinner can do is seek the Lord. It's not that we can't seek the Lord, it's that we won't seek the Lord. He's told us to, in Isaiah, he said, seek the Lord, seek ye the Lord while he's near. Seek him while he may be found. Our Lord right now has set up this congregation in Franklin County. And this is where we need to be. In this Roanoke Valley, not saying there's not, but the Lord hasn't revealed any other congregations to us that actually declare His truth and His mercy and preach Christ. The Lord has sent it here. If you're not saved, seek the Lord. seek the Lord by being in a place where the Lord is preached. Seek the Lord where men declare His word, not themselves. They're not looking to go about and show what kind of people they are to the community. They're out there declaring the word of God. Look to this scripture. Look for Christ in the scriptures. He's everywhere. He's blinded man's eyes. They can't see. He said, Romans 3:11 tells us that there's none that seek. Romans 3:11, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. There's none righteous before that. That's our Lord makes us righteous. But He's told us we can seek. He told us to seek. There's not many things a sinner cannot born himself. He can't save himself. You know, we're supposed to be born of the water and the Spirit. But a man can't do that for himself. The Lord has to do that. All that the Father giveth Christ will come to him. And then, turn back with me to Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at the eunuch. And the Lord, angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasures, had come to Jerusalem to worship. This man was seeking something. And as he was returning, he read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest what thou readest. This man was genuinely seeking something. The Lord found him. The Lord sent him a preacher. Out in the middle of that desert on his way back, he had been to Jerusalem and heard all the people talking. And that's all it was talk. But the Lord sent Philip to declare the word of the Lord. Because it said, the place that he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and a lamb dumb before a shearer so that he opened not his mouth. That's our Christ. He was delivered. God, in His providence, sent Him, put Him before Pilate and the men of this earth, and they wanted Him dead. And He spake nothing. He got on that cross willingly. He died for our sins. But this eunuch, he was searching. He didn't know what he was searching for at that time, but the Lord found him. That's why we're told, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I'm sure, and I know, men were dead. And until God opens our eyes, we won't know what we're seeking. Even though we're told to seek it. And seek after the Lord, we know, but we know not how to seek the Lord. And then we're told to look. You know, that's another form of seeking. That in Exodus, the snake, God sent the snake to to bite those people for their sins. But then he made a brazen serpent and he put it on a pole and told them to look. He lifted it up and told them to look. And Christ told in John 3, let's turn there, John 3, John chapter 3. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There we're told to believe again. Look and live. And then a man can just ask God to save him. You know, if you're searching and you're a sinner and he showed you that and you've asked him for mercy, ask him to save you. Ask him to put you under the sound of the gospel. Be here every time it's preached. Don't wander. Don't look for something else. Just ask God to save you. He said in Romans 10, I'll just turn there. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say might. Says shall be saved. Call upon the Lord. And it says, for whosoever. But then it goes on to say, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Those are good questions. The Lord saves a man, like the eunuch. He will send him a preacher. Like this Philippian jailer, he will send him a preacher. In his due time, he decided to save. It was time. The Lord had chosen him before the foundation of the world. And now, as this jailer, Paul had to come cross paths with this jailer to save him. And then there's the leper. You know, asking God to save him. You know, all he said was, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, the leper wasn't even supposed to be near people. He was supposed to cry leper and deter people from coming near him. Our Lord allowed him to come to him. And the leper, he didn't say, I want this or I want that. He told him, he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's all Christ and God's will. Nothing to do with man's will. That's what we need to learn. Is we're just here on this earth a short while. We didn't determine to come into this world. We're not going to determine when we go out of this world. And we're nothing in between that time. Even though men seem to think they are something, put themselves on a pedestal higher than they should be, we're nothing. We need to look to our Lord and our Savior. It was blind Bartimaeus. He asked the Lord to have mercy on him. He said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And then after Christ asked him, he said, well, what wilt thou that I should do thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That's a good thing to want. It's for the Lord to open our eyes to this scripture. Show us Christ on every page. He's throughout this whole book from Genesis to the end of Revelation. So it's all about Christ. It's his story. So then we see in verse 32, it's Paul and Silas, they spake the word of the Lord unto all that were in his house. This jailer heard from Paul and them. He's like, hey, everybody needs to come listen to these men. You know, he brought his whole house in there. We do well to do that too. Is get our families, get our friends, bring everybody, tell them, say, hey, come listen. You know, as the woman at the well went into the town and said, there's never been a man spoke like this. We need to go listen to Christ. We need to go where Christ is preached. We need to tell others and get them. We need to bring them. The Lord will bring them if he desires. And said, then he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. He felt so bad, I'm sure he had been a part of Paul and Silas being whipped. But after he brought them out and they told him the gospel, he tended to their needs. And their needs at that time was to have their wounds washed. And that's what he did. And they baptized him. The Lord baptized him. His baptism was just a profession that the Lord had saved him. It was nothing more than that. It wasn't that his sins were forgiven because he went under the water. It had nothing to do with the jailer. And you notice, it's just a little blip between a semicolon and a colon there that says, and was baptized. It wasn't brought out, wasn't pushed to be something bigger than it was. He baptized because he made a profession that the Lord Jesus Christ had saved him from his sin. He had had mercy on him after he had cried, have mercy on me, Lord, I'm a sinner. And in verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, let the men go. This jailer, and I'm sure he was glad that Paul wrote that letter to the Philippians. I'm sure he was one of them that was just tickled to hear from Paul telling him about God again. And this was the way the Lord had chose to save, and he listed a couple of people that he saved in Philippi. But we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to seek and call on the Lord that can save. And he can save. His hand's not too short. And all that he died for will be with him in eternity. May he open our eyes and show us what sinners we are and what need of a Savior that can save to the uttermost we are. May the Lord have mercy on me.